chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. This message seems to be speaking to me louder than the other, so I'm just going to trust the Lord today. A lot of times when we want to look around at the results, statistics, and if a preacher looks at that, he won't be in business long. He must just stay faithful preaching the Word of God. I was at a place a few weeks ago. It was a jubilee, and I preached the message here. It's about when the church was praying, and they was trying to get Peter out of prison. Peter went and knocked on the door. Before they was praying, they come to the door and said, "This can't be." And they wouldn't answer the door. So that's a lot like our praying. When God sends us to answer the door, we don't want to answer it. I preached on the thought, would somebody answer the door? I didn't see many people move. Sort of got defeated, discouraged. Well, Lord, is that really what I needed to preach? I got a call from the pastor the next evening. He said, "Brother Ken, I want to tell you, as you're traveling home today, there's a lady called me at home this evening, met me at church, and said, 'Preacher, I've got to get this door answered. God's knocking on my heart, and I want to be saved.'" So you never know what God's doing with you. But I can tell you one thing, the Word of God is still right in this day, in this hour. Mark chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse 26, "And he said, 'So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. He said, 'Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. When it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, he groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Now look in verse 35. "And the same day," he just got done telling them this parable about faith and that of the mustard seed. "He said, when the evening was come," isn't it amazing? He waited till dark to do something. "He said unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.' When they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships." Watch your Bibles. "And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillar. They awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' They feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for the good grace of God. We thank you for the good songs that we've been able to enjoy this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the precious people of God here and their families, their children, their grandchildren and friends. Now, Lord, I realize that this text has been put in my heart, and I pray that you'd do with the Word of God today that only that you can do. I ask you, Lord, that the Spirit of God would let preaching be easy today. And I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would teach me in these last days of preaching that of how to exalt the precious Son of God. Help us this morning. We'll be grateful to you. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I'm interested this morning, Mark 4. The Bible mentioned a word that I'm interested in. They cried in verse 38 and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" A question. And I won't preach on this topic today, a moment with the Master. A moment with the Master. Now, the reason I read verse 26 through 34, I wanted you to understand that Jesus had just sat down and taught them a passage about faith, that of a grain of a mustard seed. And now the Bible says, on the same day in verse 35, and by way of outline, I want to say this morning, this moment with the Master. First of all, there are directions that are telling. Some directions that are telling. For he said the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, and we ought to get a hold of this, let us pass over to the other side. I want to tell you there is another side. There's another side to the story. You'll listen to a lot of stories and you will put your opinion, maybe because you've heard one side, but I want to remind everybody there's always two sides of the story. And then there's always another side of life. In this life, this is not all that it is. We're all going to give up this body and we're going to meet the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we know the Lord Jesus as Savior and we've repented of our sins. Then we get to go to the other side. You know, I've noticed this. A lot of these contemporary boys that are preaching, they preach about a Jesus of simple belief. But the Bible said, Jesus said himself, that it requires repentance. You must realize that you are a sinner, lost and undone without Christ, and turn from your sinful ways and follow Christ. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. It will require you something to be saved this morning. It costs Jesus everything. It may cost you a few friends, a few families, may cost you a few parties. But if you're really living for God, time to tell this morning. And I want to say there are directions that are telling. He said, let us go to the other side. Isn't it a blessing that we've got a God that wants to get us to the other side? Wouldn't it be a blessing that you're stuck in this morning, that God could get you to the other side of it? I've noticed in my life personally, I find myself in situations, and I sure am glad I've got Bible to tell me that He wants to take me to the other side of it. You may be locked down today in a storm, in a crisis, in great trials of life. I'd love to tell you, if you love God, that hard times would not come, but hard times will come. But I'm glad we've got a God in the Bible that can take us to the other side of it. I want to ask you today, what are you stuck in today that you need to get to the other side? Some of you may be in bitterness. Some of you may be in bondage. Some of you may be in bereavement, great heartache, but I've come to tell you, there's a God that can get you to the other side of it this morning. So there's directions that are telling. Verse 36, there are disciples that are taking. The Bible said when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, And there were also with him other little ships. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? The disciples that were taken, the Bible said that they took him as he was. You see, you're not going to change Jesus. Jesus will change you. A lot of people's wanting this little feel-good salvation, this little feel-good religion. But friend, when you get in the boat with Jesus, you'll have to take him just how he is and who he is. I want to say he's holy this morning. He shed his blood for the sins of this whole world. I'm glad his blood can wash us clean this morning. I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. There's a God that sent his son to Calvary to take your sin and my sin. And to get to the other side, you must take him as who he is. I've seen a lot of pictures painted of Jesus. Matter of fact, the average American family, about all they know about Jesus is that Roman soldier that was painted that he was a prisoner that looked like Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, read your Bible. If you want to see Jesus, look in the eyes and the hearts of these little ones. If you want to see Jesus, look back at how the blessings have happened in your life today. Jesus is not a picture. He's a person. So they took him even as he was. This moment of the Master. Their directions that are telling. Their disciples that are taking. But in verse 37, there's a disturbance that is testing. Isn't that amazing? He asked them to get on board to go to the other side. But before they got to the other side, there was a storm came up. There was a disturbance that came testing. Look what it says. I don't know if you've ever noticed. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beating the ship so that it was now full. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that has just got all they can handle. I mean, it seems like that it's just come over in the boat that you're riding in and you just can't take no more. Well, I want to tell you this morning that through this moment of the Master, you'll notice this disturbance was testing. And there arose a great storm. And notice this, it was dark. I want to remind you today, we're going to the other side, but it don't make us stormproof this morning. I'm so glad that in 1981, I got on that old gospel ship by faith. I had an old preacher named Brother Elmer Kaysen come to my trailer one Saturday. He looked at me and he asked me these words a man had never asked me, "Ken, are you saved?" I lied to that old man of God that day. I wanted him to leave, but something very critical happened in my life. When he left, God stayed. God laid down with me that night and he got up with me that morning. And that was Sunday morning. That morning I got gloriously saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, just because I'm saved don't mean that storms don't come my way. And just because you're saved don't mean that storms don't come your way this morning. And so here you'll see in this moment of the Master, their directions that are telling, their disciples that are taking, there's a disturbance that is testing. But look in verse 38, there's a description that is talking. The Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship. Wait a minute, he's in the hinder part. Yet, can I tell you that not only is he with you in the storm, he's behind you in the storm? Can I tell you when everybody else is left out in your storm, you can count on Jesus to be behind you in the storm. He's in the hinder part of the ship. How many times have you thought you was in your storm alone? About time you turned around, you bumped into somebody and he was bigger than who you are. I'm glad this morning there's a God that can speak to our storm. Look what he does. There's a description in talking in verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillar. And they awake him and say to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Can I tell you, it's still right to call him Master today. Is he your Master? You know, when my life is so overwhelmed and my little boat is so full, I've noticed, to give you some of the greatest advice any preacher could give you this morning, don't take long to cry out to the Master. Immediately cry out, because He'll listen to you. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever found yourself in a trial or a time of life when seems like nobody else cares and you really wonder, does He care? You say, preacher, you've been preaching a long time. You mean tell me you've been in storms that you wondered, did He care? I sure have. I've been in times in my life when I wondered, Lord, where are you? Lord, what's this about? Lord, why? A lot of people have said this question, it's wrong to ask God why. Can I tell you, Jesus asked God why on the cross? Why hast thou forsaken me? This morning, Jesus told us that He would do something for us that the Father didn't get to do for Him. For He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That day when Jesus hung on the cross and He cried those words, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look upon sin, because your sin and my sin was upon the Son of God, and darkness fell on the earth that day. God could not even look at our sin. But now we that are in Christ, we're accepted and beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice in this passage today, in this moment of the Master, there's something here that I want you to highlight and I want to show you. I've never seen this. There was a description that was talking. They said, Master, carest thou not we perish? But in verse 39, there's a demand that is taming. The Bible said, He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And this is what I want to show you. Look at verse 37. The Bible said, and there arose. But now look in verse 39. And He arose. You see, I'm glad He's bigger. I'm glad He's better. Honey, there may be some things that arise in your life, but you let God stand up and talk to it. He fixed the matter this morning. There arose. He arose. There arose a great storm. He arose, and there came a great calm. And you see, you'll never know about a great calm till you come through a great storm. I'm glad. I've been through some great storms, so now I know what there is about a great calm. Now, Jesus did something. This demand that was taming, look in verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You know, I've met a lot of people, but nobody like Jesus. I've said this before, but I believe with all of my heart. There's a lot of boys that talk about the weather. But there's only one that can speak to the weather. Jesus said, peace be still. Now I want to ask you something today. In your life where you are this morning, you may seem that you're all alone. Nobody cares. Let me tell you, the devil's a liar. There are some people that cares, and it's one for sure that cares. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God. As John seen Him across the river and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this world. This morning, in this moment, with the Master. Miss Kathy, I want you, if you would today, if you could come and try to sing us a song of invitation. This demand in taming. Now look in verse 40, this discussion that is truthful. He said unto them, this is a good question. Why are you so fearful? Now, hold on, you that are saved. And I want to say something to our church tonight. I hope you're back. Because I want to deal with this right here a little bit tonight. Why? I want to ask you something. What has God ever done that made me to doubt Him? He's allowed hurtful things to happen. He's allowed things to happen in my life that I certainly wouldn't have brought to my life. But now that I'm older, I want to say this about the God of this Bible. He can be trusted. Young families, when it seems like your life is going to pieces, awake the Master. It's okay to ask Him questions. Master, carest thou not? I'm glad He cares. I'm glad He can. You see what He done? He got up out of the hinder part. He spoke, "Peace, be still." And He turned around and He told to them that was traveling with Him. Why? They asked Him a question. He returned it as a question. Why are you so fearful? Something happened in this passage. There's a demand that was taming. There was a discussion that was truthful. Why? Verse 41. Church. There was a discovery that was thankful. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him." Preacher, I want to ask you, what kind of man is he? He's available. He's adequate. Miss Kathy's going to sing this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life, in your world. But Jesus can fix the situation. Don't leave Him out. Awake Him, Master. I need help. Hey, church, we need help here. I need help. You need help. Would you bring it to Him this morning? I open these altars around this church. If you need something from the Master today, you come. My sister sings.